Good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. He is risen indeed. I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 26 in the New Living. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 26. But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying that there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all of you have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in this world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. After that, the end will come, when he will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having destroyed every ruler and authority and power. For Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death.
Good Easter morning to all of you. It's a real privilege to be able, despite our circumstances, to share with you on Easter Sunday about the risen Christ. If your Bibles were open to 1 Corinthians 15 when John was reading, please leave them there at that text. That's what we'll be looking at in just a few minutes. When I was growing up, I remember Easter Sundays in our old church very well. It was a simple church. It had just one entrance and exit to the sanctuary. And on Easter Sunday, of course, it was packed full. Chairs up and down the aisles. You couldn't fit another person in to that sanctuary. And every Easter Sunday that I can recall in that church, the first hymn that was sung every year, really, was He Lives. The pastor would get up. Our pastor was not a very good singer, but it was before the days of worship teams, and so the pastor led our singing. And so he would introduce the hymn number, which we all knew what it would be, because it would be He Lives. He would have us stand, and we would stand shoulder to shoulder in this packed church, and the organ would play, or the piano, one of those instruments, or both. And we would sing, He Lives. And this is how it goes. I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. And then like clockwork, we would slow down. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives. And the pastor would hold his hand up in the air, and we would have to hold that note so long. And then, finally, within my heart. And finally, I realized I could breathe and we could sit down again. But all of a sudden, like it was automatic, in all the world around me. And we would sing the next verse. And that went on three times for every verse in the song, He Lives. It was the Easter hymn that ended three times. And yet I remember as a boy and then as a teenager, I actually enjoyed it. There was something about that Easter service, a church totally filled and expecting that we were all going to stand and sing that same song every year, He Lives. And it was kind of special to sing about the living Savior in a filled church. And of course, today we're not doing that in a filled church, but we are still thinking about and singing in our own ways about the living Savior. The Christian faith is really different, isn't it? And I'm not sure of many other times during the course of a year when the Christian faith shows how different it really is. Because on this Sunday, in many places, people are celebrating. They're celebrating spring. For some reason, Easter is kind of that mark on the calendar where we can just celebrate the fact that spring is coming. Winter is over. Spring is coming. For some people, today is a day of celebration. They're celebrating bunnies and eggs. And that's the big deal. The Jewish people are wrapping up Passover. And once again, they wrap up Passover by saying, maybe next year. They celebrated, but no Messiah again this year. The Muslims are probably not celebrating today, but they are preparing because in a couple of weeks they begin their 30 days of Ramadan, a time when they will very intentionally fast and try to live for those 30 days more seriously according to the teachings of Muhammad, a man who lived and died and whose body is still in the grave. And then there are the people who aren't celebrating today because to them, today is like any other day. But we in the Christian faith, we are so different. Because on this day, we celebrate the living Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate the fact that our Savior, the one we serve, the one we follow, yes, He died. We remember that. We recall that death on the cross a couple days ago. But we believe that He is alive. He rose on the third day. And He lives. And we celebrate that. Death was defeated. The tomb is empty. But what if it wasn't? What if Jesus Christ is no different than Muhammad or any other religious leader of the past who lived, died, and whose grave still contains the remains of that person? Well, that's what the Apostle Paul is addressing in 1 Corinthians 15. What if? What if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead? What if his body is still in that grave in the Middle East? In chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, Paul begins in the first verses to remind the Corinthian people about the gospel message that he had preached that included the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and then the appearances of Christ to many people after the resurrection. And then he comes to verse 12, and he says, "But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead?" Apparently in Corinth, there were people suggesting that there wasn't such a thing as resurrection from the dead. First of all, the idea that people who have died would someday rise from the grave, the skeptic said that can't happen. That is not a possibility. When someone dies, they're dead. Their body is in the grave, in the tomb, and that's it. And this was beginning to concern the Corinthian Christians. They were hearing this denial of a resurrection. And of course, Paul sees this as very serious, because he says in verse 13, "For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either." If we're going to say that there is no such thing as a resurrection of the dead, then Jesus Christ did not rise. And his body is still in the grave. And that becomes serious, because as Paul has just said in the earlier verses, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a key part of the gospel message. You take away the resurrection of the dead, you take away the resurrection of Jesus, and you take away the key part of the gospel message. And so Paul begins then to share with the Corinthians what would be true if Christ had not been raised. So let's look at the things that he mentions. It's almost like dominoes falling if Christ had not been raised. The first thing he says is that if Christ had not been raised from the dead, resurrection preaching is useless because it's a lie. Notice there in verse 14, he says, "And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless." Verse 15, "And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead." If Jesus had not been raised from the dead, resurrection preaching is useless. All those apostles who went around preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, which included the resurrection, that he was raised from the dead, their preaching would be useless because it would be untrue. It would be a lie. It would be a deception. And anyone since then who has preached that kind of message would have been continuing a deception, a lie. Can you imagine all over the world today how many people are preaching about the resurrection of Jesus? If he did not rise from the dead, imagine the deception that is being spread throughout the world today by the preaching of a resurrection. I was thinking that I have been preaching about the resurrection of Jesus for 46 years. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, I have been promoting a lie for over half of my life. And so that's the first thing Paul says. He says, this is serious. If Jesus had not been raised, all this resurrection preaching would be useless. It would be a lie. The second thing he says is that if Christ has not been raised, our faith is useless because it is directed only toward the memory of a dead man. He mentions this twice. Verse 14, all our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. And then he mentions it back in verse 17. If Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless. Think about that. We have placed our faith in Jesus Christ. We rely on Him. We depend on Him. We trust Him. We follow Him. We serve Him. If He never rose from the grave, if He's not living today, how valid is that faith? We have placed our faith in a dead man. At the best, we've placed our faith in some good memories of this dead man. He lived a life. It was short. It was good. He said good things. But then he died tragically. He was buried. And all we have are memories. And we have placed our faith in the memories of a dead man. Paul says that kind of faith is useless. If you have placed your total faith and your trust in someone who is not alive, who cannot be involved in your life, who cannot listen to you, who does not hear you, who does not respond, of what value is it? If Christ has not been raised, our faith is useless. Third, Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, we are still guilty of sin. This is serious. If He has not been raised, we are still guilty of sin and under condemnation. Verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. Now somebody might say, well, wait a minute, Jesus died for our sins. It was the death of Christ that had to do with our sins, not the resurrection. False. Jesus died for our sins. He bore in His body our sins. He became sin in our place. He was judged for our sins. He paid the penalty. But if He then died, His body was laid in the grave, and He is no longer living, what He did on the cross could never be put into effect. It could never actually happen. Because if Jesus never rose from the dead, the conclusion is death conquered Him, sin conquered Him. And in order for Jesus to put into effect in our lives what He purchased and provided on the cross, He had to conquer death. He had to conquer sin to show He had the power to put into place what He had provided on the cross. The resurrection is crucial for the forgiveness of sin, for freedom from sin, for salvation. Paul says, if Jesus had not raised from the dead, you and I would still be in our sins. We would still be lost. we would still be on our way to paying for our own sins, because death and sin would have conquered even Jesus. Fourth, Paul goes on to say that if Christ had not been raised, all believers who have died are forever lost. He tells us that in verse 18. He says, in that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. Every one of us this morning knows of more than one person who believed in Christ and has died. Paul says, if Christ did not rise from the dead, those people are lost. Those people are gone forever. They have perished in their sin because they would have died still guilty of sin and under the judgment of sin. What a serious thing. What an important thing. Today is the 1 year anniversary of my mother's death. So I take that statement very personally. If Christ had not risen, my mother would be lost forever. I would never see her again. What a difference that would make in my grieving. It would make a tragic difference in my grieving. Because if Christ had never risen, then there is no hope for those who have believed in Him to rise and to live forever. The fifth item that Paul brings up, he says, if Christ had not been raised, our only hope is for this life and not beyond. In verse 19, he says, and if our hope in Christ is only for this life, if the only hope we have is for these few short years in this life, on this earth, Paul says, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. We talk about hope. We talk about, as Christians, the fact that we have hope. Paul says the only reason we have hope is because there is something beyond the grave, beyond this life. But if Christ is not raised, there is no hope for anyone beyond the grave, beyond this life. Our hope is only in the few years we have here. And the apostle says, if that's it, we should be pitied. Last night, we watched this two-hour country music thing where all these country music artists sang songs for the country, to bring the country together at this time, sang from their living rooms, which was kind of neat to see. See them without their makeup. But do you know that in that 2 hours, as they talked about hope, the hope that this would be over soon, they talked about the hope that we'd be able to come to their concerts again soon, they talked about the hope that people could come together again. They talked about hope a lot, but I don't remember in 2 hours a single person naming the name of Jesus the night before Easter as they talked about hope. You see, if we only have hope in this life, if our hope only involves these few years that we live here, we should be pitied. In fact, in verse 32, if you go on, Paul says, if there's no resurrection, If this is all there is, let's feast, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Does it make sense if the only hope we have is in these few years, in this life? Our hope goes beyond that if Jesus is alive. If he is not alive, we are to be pitied that we have placed our hope in a deception. All we have to hope for is what this life brings. So, Paul is really concerned about this teaching. He's really concerned about what the Christians are hearing, that there is no resurrection, which means Christ didn't rise. And so he just wants to let the people know what would be true if Christ had not been raised. Then you have verse 20. After going through these things that would be true if Christ had not been raised, Paul says in verse 20, but in fact, here's a fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Fact, he says. Indeed, for certain, Christ has been raised. And then what he does is he goes on to talk about the hope that that brings. But before we look at that, let me go through some things then that would be true because Christ has been raised. They're basically the opposite of the items Paul has just suggested would be true if he hadn't been raised. Number one, because Christ has been raised, we follow and serve a living Savior and Lord. That's worth celebrating, my friends. While so much of this world follows and believes in and serves the memory of someone who lived a long time ago, but who died, whose body is still in a grave somewhere, we as Christians follow and serve a living Savior, a living Lord, Jesus Christ. We trust in a living Lord. We believe in a living Lord. We follow and serve a living Lord. We believe in someone who hears us, who listens, who responds, who is active, who is at work. We follow and serve a living Savior because Jesus rose from the grave. Second, because Christ has been raised, we are forgiven. And we are delivered from sins. Because Jesus conquered death. Because Jesus conquered sin. Sin and death couldn't keep him in the grave. Sin and death couldn't have victory over him. Because he rose again, he is able to put into effect what he provided on the cross in his death. Our forgiveness, our deliverance from sin's penalty, our salvation. We are forgiven. We are delivered from sin because Jesus has been raised. Third, because Christ has been raised, we have the presence of Christ in our lives. The Muslims can't say they have the presence of Muhammad in their lives. He's dead. Other world religions can't say they have the presence of their leader with them in their lives because they can point to and visit a grave and have to admit the body is there. But because Jesus rose from the grave, we have his presence in our lives. He said himself before he left to go to heaven, I am with you always. And Scripture says that he is with us in the person of his Holy Spirit, living in those of us who believe in him. He's with us. He's involved. We have his presence because he is alive. Fourth, because Christ has been raised, we have hope beyond the grave. We do. John 14:19. Jesus said to his followers, because I live, you also will live. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 20 and on. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. And when he comes back, we have the truth of verse 54 and on. Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have hope beyond the grave because Jesus rose from the dead. We don't just hope in these few years here on this earth. We have hope that goes beyond. Hope beyond the grave for us because Jesus is alive. I will see my mother again. I will see my father again. You will see those who believed in Jesus who have died. Because Jesus is alive. There is hope beyond the grave because Jesus rose from the dead. And finally, because Christ has been raised, we will see Jesus being with him and like him forever. We're going to see him alive. We're going to be with him living, and we're going to be like him forever. John 14:1-3. Even before his death and resurrection, Jesus told his followers that he was going away to heaven, to the Father, and he was going to prepare them a place, and that one day he would come back and bring them to that place that they might be with him. In 1 John 3:1-2, John is amazed that we can be called children of God. And he goes on to say that one day when Jesus returns, we will see him as he is and we will be like him. That could only be true if he's alive. And then if you would turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Starting in verse 20. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. Think about what Paul is saying. We are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ, what? Lives. He lives. Paul doesn't say we are citizens of this world where the body of Jesus Christ lies. He says, we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we are eagerly waiting for Him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like His own, using the same power with which He will bring everything under control. Because Jesus has been raised and lives, we will see Him one day. We will be with Him, very much alive, and we will be like Him forever. That is our hope beyond the grave, because Jesus conquered the grave and lives. So, may we celebrate, believers in Christ. May we celebrate. Because in fact, as Paul says, Christ has been risen from the dead. I hope you take a few moments, maybe a lot of moments today, to thank Him for that truth. Thank Him for conquering the grave. Thank Him that because of that, you get to follow and serve a living Lord and Savior. You are so different, you Christians. You follow and serve and trust and rely on a living Lord. Thank Him that because of His resurrection, you are forgiven. You are delivered from sin and its penalty. Thank Him that because of His resurrection, He is present with you. He is with you every day. Because He rose again, thank Him that this life isn't all you have. These few years here isn't all you have to hope in. You have hope beyond this life. And because He rose, thank Him that you will get to see Him. You will get to be with Him. You will get to be like Him forever. Because He's alive. He lives. So let me wrap up with this. It's very possible that for whatever reason, you are listening to me right now and you do not know Jesus. You do not know this Jesus Christ that all these Christians are talking about and celebrating today. But for some reason, you're listening. I want you to really consider what you've heard. Consider what it might be like if you were to choose to follow Jesus. What it might be like if you were actually living for Jesus Christ. What it would be like to have sins forgiven, to have hope beyond this life. What it would be like to think that you could live forever. That there is something beyond the grave. It might be something that you have been thinking about and you've been searching for and you've been wondering where to find it. This kind of hope. This kind of life. This kind of peace. This kind of living. One last scripture, which comes from Luke's account of the resurrection. Luke chapter 24, Luke talks about that morning when the women came to the tomb, and the body of Jesus was gone, of course. And in verse 4 of Luke 24, we find that these two men, probably angels appear to the women. Verse 5. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. And then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive?" Other translations say, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" Let me just put it this way. I think that there are many people, maybe you, as you listen, who have actually been looking for life among the dead. You've been looking for something in this world that would give you real life, real hope, real joy, real peace, real security, all those things that you feel like are missing. But you keep looking for those things in this world, in this dead world, where everything is dying eventually. Think about the question the angels asked the women. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? The very things you're looking for, friends, are found in Jesus Christ, the living Jesus Christ. Perhaps today you will recognize that and you will seek Him for His salvation, for that hope, that real hope. If you have the study sheet in front of you, you notice that we have the words to the chorus of this popular song that Bill and Gloria Gaither wrote, "Because He Lives." We're thinking about "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." Let's see, it's April 12th. "Because Jesus Lives, I Can Face April 13th. And I can face April 14th. And I can face this coming Friday. Because He lives. Because He lives, all fear is gone." There's so much fear. So much fear right now. Because Jesus lives, all fear is gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God, the living God. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. Because my Lord is alive, He holds the future. He's in control. He knows the future. He knows the rest of 2020. He holds it. And so life is worth the living. It really is. Life is worth the living just because He lives. Paul basically says to the Corinthians, don't believe what they're saying. What they're saying would take away the major part of the gospel, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If they're right, these terrible things would be true. But they're not right. In fact, Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And because of that, just the opposite is true. Praise be to God. Wherever you are right now, I encourage you to sing along with me. I sang for you at the beginning. Why don't you sing these words with me at the bottom of your sheet, because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Father, we praise You. We celebrate Your power that raised Jesus from the grave. Thank You that on that morning, sin was conquered. The death that sin brings to this world was conquered. The forgiveness, the salvation that Jesus had purchased on the cross can now be given to those who seek that forgiveness and surrender their trust and belief and reliance in the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we who belong to Jesus celebrate today. Thank You for all that is true for us because of the resurrection of Jesus. And Father, may those who don't know You, who have not surrendered their lives to the living Christ, may Easter of 2020, in the midst of all that's going on in this world, be the day that they look back on as the day that hope came into their life through the living Christ, the Lord Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.